You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on November 13, 2024, and is titled, Don't Fret. So grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message.
All right, how many of y'all had a good week this week? How many of y'all have felt a little change in the atmosphere? Been a little change in the atmosphere for some of you? Good. Good. We're expecting good things. Tonight, we're going to talk about some of the aftermath. A little bit of where we at. That's probably it more than anything. That's probably the question I've asked myself the most here in the last little bit. Where am I at? What do I do now? We've sat on this one particular battlefield, so to speak, for 16 years almost now that Robin and I have inserted ourselves into stuff. And I don't know that we were always invited, so we just inserted ourselves into stuff. But it's kind of, you can feel it. It's the end of a season, so to speak. And there's a new kind of peace, and there's a new opportunity. And I'm going to talk tonight a lot about a couple visions, and we're going to be in Psalms 37. If you got your Bible, it'd be a good place to follow along. And I'm going to read the whole thing tonight because it covers a lot of stuff. And where we are as God's people, and what kind of opportunities lie ahead for us here. And so, and when I talk to you tonight, I'm going to talk from where I sit. That doesn't mean I'm speaking for you where you sit. I'm just going to be talking from where I sit. And one of the things that we're going to really ramp up is encouraging everyone, first of all, figure out where you sit for yourself. One of the things that's come out of my mouth here lately, and sometimes, most of the time, if anything good comes out of my mouth, I didn't premeditate it. It just happened. It's of the Lord. And so, but one of the things that we have to deal with or get to deal with now as we move forward is differentiating between faith that comes out of religion, religious faith, or realized faith. Realized faith is real. You can't unrealize it. Faith that comes out of religion will many times tell you, do this, do this, do this, do this, and therefore get this, get this, get this, get this. Pray this prayer and you get heaven. Give this amount and you get this. Bless God with your attendance. Maybe not. Realized faith lets a man personally know Jesus, where you hear his voice. When he tells you the stuff you don't want to hear, and he tells you the stuff that you might want to hear, and every now and then you hear stuff about you from God that sounds really good. But the nice thing about realized faith is you can absolutely realize peace. And you can actually realize joy when you're standing there flat-footed all by yourself. You don't need anybody to fix the atmosphere. You don't need anybody to adjust the lights. You realize the presence of God Almighty all the time, wherever you're at. Realized faith is what actually lays the groundwork for this next revival, the next awakening on American soil. The same as 1740, the same as 1820. An awakening. Probably not going to happen in a tent revival. It's probably not going to happen behind stained glass windows, but at kitchen tables all over America and trucks all up and down the interstate. Behind the rope and chute, behind the hay barn, in the parking lot of a grocery store. Jesus will be realized. And when we realize the risen Son of God, and we realize the kingdom that's here now upon us, within us, and at hand, we now are eternally changed. If there's any hope for our nation, no man can premeditate how this goes. You can draw out a map of a Vance Trump team for 8 more years, and then we're going to do Trump, and then Trump. You can't map this out. You don't know who gets sick. You don't know who dies. You don't know who changes their mind. But I can guarantee you this. When revival begins to sweep, and believe me, the fields are ripe for the harvest. When revival begins to sweep, the attitude, the mentality, the character, the moral fortitude, the future generational outlook, everything for our nation changes, because now the largest branch of government on the planet has surrendered themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that is called We the People. So, that's a little warm-up for tonight. I think we're in a really, really good place. I think in my 64 years of existence, we're in the best place we've ever been as a nation, as a people. I believe that our hope is unlimited. Our potential is unlimited. And anything that hinders that, he said, shake off the sin that so easily entangles us. There's a lot of religion that's sin. Woe be it to any one of you who makes the least of one of these stumble. So anything we do to separate man from the reality of Jesus, we might ought to re-examine our whole cart. So let's pray and we'll get the Murphs up here. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord. This is what I pray for. I pray for every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice. I pray for those who haven't heard yet. We pray for revival to sweep our land. We pray, God, that the curtain be rent in two one more time. That, Lord, you would unveil behind veiled faces that pull back the veil. That, God, we would realize who you are, Jesus. Lord, we love you. And we know that you first loved us. So, Lord, we're asking you to help us restructure our kitchen tables. Help us to set things in a kingdom way and to put our lives in right order. And that, God, you would get the glory. That your power be revealed. That your presence be revealed. That's our prayer. Lord, we're not praying for a meeting to be a revival. We're praying for revival to sweep our land. So, Lord, whatever we need to do, whatever we need to say, and however we need to pray, we're listening. Show us. Tell us. We'll do it. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm going to sit down here tonight, but truly, the Lord's been speaking to me a lot here the last few days. I've kind of not hung out around the TV or social media much, and just kind of been kind of seeking the Lord, and you know, where are we at? What are we doing? Where are we going? And he showed me a lot about an awakening coming, about how in America and across the globe the last years we've been awakened to the depths of evil and deception and the devaluation of life and the devaluation of Christianity and different things in our lives, and we've realized. And I said, Lord, we just need to realize you. And he said, no, you need to realize my goodness again. It's pretty easy to take it for granted. It gets pretty easy if you'll just stand on the battlefield for 16 years and punch at them. It gets pretty easy when you see everything that's wrong and everything that needs fixed and you think you're the guy that's going to fix it. And pretty soon you wake up and you've just fought. And your intentions are good and you're in the right spot. But it's been a fight. And it's not, never ends. I mean, she's the only one that could attest to it. It's 24/7. This never stops. And pretty soon, like this week, the Lord has dealt with me through Scripture about be careful about a root of bitterness. See, because I've had some bitterness in my life, I'm a little bitter about people who just simply want free stuff at my expense. I get bitter. I get bitter about a religion that attempted to hide me from Jesus. I get bitter about the misuses of things and the different things that we see going on in our society. And if you're not careful, you'll preach angry. You'll preach angry. Do you know what? If you're preaching angry to a bunch of angry people, they'll applaud. They like it. They like it. But the Lord told me, he said, you need to realize my goodness again. Not momentary things like different meetings or gatherings. My simple goodness. This morning I got up and got my Bible out and do just normal routine. And Robin's always got the coffee set where it's made by the time I get up early in the morning. And I threw me a couple logs on the fire and just sitting there in the quiet. And all by myself began to recognize how absolutely wonderful that Jesus Christ has been in our life. It's overwhelming. It's more than a man can get his head around. It's a lot. And so I said, Lord, what do I do? And I've hung out in Psalms 37 a lot. And then Carolyn sent me a deal just to encourage and kind of ratify that that's where a good place to be for the moment. And tonight I wanted to read Psalms 37 because there's so much for us as his people, and especially at this particular time. But before I read it, I want to tell one quick story, because this morning, this is where I saw God's goodness for us as a nation. In 2015 or 16, right there at the beginning of Trump's first inauguration, somewhere right in there, I was sitting in my office, and many of you have heard this story before, and I'll make it quick. But I was sitting in my office there in the barn one morning and praying and doing my thing, and I kept having this continuous vision. And it was a vision of our nation. And right here in the center, the heartland, it was red. And all around the edges was blue. But it was frayed like a rug that had come loose. And the whole thing. And I couldn't figure it out. And I'll never forget, it was like 6:28 or something like that. I looked at my phone, and I told God, this is exactly what I told him. I said, God, I don't get what you're trying to show me. I'm going to go feed the horses. And so I got up and walked out in the barn and was going to go feed. And my phone rang, and it was a number from California. As a guy that I'd never met yet, but a guy that now he's older and our circles have kind of changed. But I highly respect him, his knowledge of God and the kingdom of God and the eternal effectualism he's had on our life forever. Every seed that Al ever sowed into our life has brought fruit. And prayed over palaces and kings. He prayed from the Senate balcony one time over the Washington Monument, and there's a video. It turned blood red at the tip and ran all the way down to the bottom while he was praying. Oh, he's stouter than 9 acres of garlic now. But I'd never met him. I answered the phone. He said, is this Steve Friskup? And I said, yes. He said, this is Al Houghton. And I said, I know who you are. And I said, but you don't know me. He said, the Lord does. And he told me to call you. What's going on with you this morning? I said, I don't know. I'm feeding the horses. He said, what's going on? Is the Lord trying to show you something? What's going on? Because the Lord told me to call you. What's going on? I said, well, I've been kind of dealing with this thing, and I tell him what I've been seeing in the blue and the fringe and the heart right there in the middle of the red. And he said, let me tell you about that right quick. He had just come back from overseas and had been gone for a good while, and I can't remember the names of the places now. I mean, I wouldn't even know where they are on the map, but he'd been to 2 prophetic conferences, 30 prophets in each conference, miles and miles apart, different places, different times. And he said, let me tell you something this morning. 60 prophets have seen the exact same vision as you. Here's what it means. And he talked about the decay of our nation coming from the frayed outer fringes. But the hope of the nation was the heartland. That middle part right here where we live, this part that I've talked about, the heartland and the kitchen table, that has been my motivation from that day forward. The reason I stepped into the ring was because of that prophetic vision, and I've never lost sight of that from the get-go. And this morning while I was praying, the Lord said the heart has spread over the nation. The heart has overcome the nation. We have a few little spots left. Let me tell you today, it's not their fault. They live on concrete. Do you know what concrete does? The same thing as man-made religion. It separates you from the Creator. Concrete separates you from the dirt. When you can't connect to the dirt, it's hard to connect to the Creator. If you can't connect to the Creator, you will never find Jesus. They are one and the same. And the heart has burst. And it has spread to the outer. There's no longer a fringe. We have a few pimples. That's what I'm going to call them, pimples. Those too are soon to burst. But across this nation, and he said, I'm giving you a new vision this morning. Look. He called me son, and he said, look, son. The fields are ripe for the harvest. The ground is fertile. It's time for the awakening. They've seen the atrocities of evil. It's time now to realize truly the goodness of God. Religious faith will never find it. Religious faith doesn't amount to anything. Realized faith, that's real. Let's read out of Psalms 37. Do not fret. That word fret means to be visibly worried or anxious. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Everything that's been trying to disrupt our life, cause chaos, all of them. Look around. They're like a bunch of cockroaches when you turn the lights on. Now they've run back in the hole. Listen, let me tell you something today as a spiritual father to a bunch of you guys who are children. Do not sit around looking for the boogeyman. Jesus said it was finished. I'm telling you today, for now, it's finished. The president-elect of the United States of America last Wednesday became the president. He has made a half a dozen phone calls that brought peace to the earth. He has put people back in their chair and put them on the right place. He's gathered people off their chairs and putting them in the right place. There will not be an immigration roundup. There will be an evacuation of their own fruition. This is happening. Do not fret. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Please, today, if you've been a heaven-bound Christian ever since you prayed some prayer and blew some snot, let me tell you today that it is God's will for you to dwell in the land and do good. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself. That means make yourself pliable. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you a couple of things that's happening here all of a sudden. Is the Lord has really been allowing me for the last week to pour into some people's lives some wisdom and some counsel. And some of the things that come out of my mouth, I mean, it's got to be God, because I just ain't that sharp. And I'm going to start writing it down, because some of it's really good and I can't remember it. But He does really good. But one of the things that I've been able to share with some of this younger generation that are finding themselves now at a crossroads, many of us are going to find ourselves at a crossroads. Some of us are going to decide to change some affiliations. Some of us are going to change our mind about some relationships, some different things. When you're 35, 40 years old, sometimes career changes, different things like that. Where do we go with our life? It's always a crossroads. Most of the time, these crossroads, there's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. You're simply at a place where you have to make a choice. And in order to make that choice, you're going to have to look down within yourself. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart, not the desires of His heart. He desires for every man to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. What do I desire? I've taught this way my entire life. That's how I ended up like me. For most part, I've known what I wanted. And so I share it with God and we see how He wants to do it. And then we try to do it together. But you got to look deep down inside. And so as I've shared with a couple people here lately, there's two food groups here. There's one group of people who look down within themselves deep and they find the Spirit of the living God. They find Jesus. When you've renewed your mind with the Word of God, you begin to harmonize with the Spirit of God. And your flesh can then align itself where the three parts of a human begin to harmonize together. And you will find your desires and God's will. And they'll be right on the same path. You'll make a choice that pleases God and blesses your life.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.